I'm Yoni.
I'm Ron.
We are the Dodies.
And you're listening to House of Noise Podcast.
Hey.
Welcome to
House of Noise. You always stop. We should just say it together. It's more fun if we say it together.
Well,
House.
What are you doing? We got to say welcome to House of Noise.
Okay.
Welcome to House of Noise. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked to
the Duddies.
It's Ron and Yoni. Ron and Yoni.
Yes,
I think I called them Ran a few times.
Yeah, I probably did too.
Yeah, I feel bad. I hate when I can't pronunciate somebody's name.
Pronunciate.
Is that what I said?
It's a combination of pronouncing and enunciating. Well, I'm just gonna say it's a word.
I know okay. English is. I can speak it really well.
The mass English.
Yeah, whatever.
So.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
For what part that you were here for. So first off, our one dog, Clayton, he had to go pee or poop or whatever. So he barked and she's like, I gotta let him out. So she let him out.
Yeah.
We start recording some more and our other dog, Cece, is older. And
yeah, she's swimming in piss and poo in the kitchen.
Yeah, so she can't hold her back end up very well. And she got onto the wood floor and kind of went down.
She was like panicking, trying to get up in the midst of a big puddle of pee and then poop.
Yeah, so she was cleaning that up as I finished. I had no idea what was going on out there. Obviously, you can hear it in the interview. But we just finished wiping her all down and washing her.
Giving her a bath. Which she hated and struggled every minute in the tub. But I won't let my dog swim in some pee.
I gotta give props to myself
because
I think I did a pretty good job of
holding the interview.
That's my she's done interviews by herself for years. So for
that's
her,
his first time going solo.
Well, semi solo. We'll call it semi solo.
We're gonna call it semi solo. Okay.
But yeah,
that was wonderful.
I was struggling a little bit, but I think I held my own.
You did
okay. They seemed to enjoy it. So
they were fun. They were a fun group of guys.
I mean, they're both out of Israel. Yanni, he was born in Texas, so he's actually got dual citizenship. I wish he knew the reasoning behind his parents coming back, which I'm sure he could find out or does know and didn't want to say. We don't know, but we're not going to ask.
Yeah, we don't know.
But we also got into the scene that's going on in Israel right now as far as music. We talked about coronavirus, obviously, because everybody should be washing their damn hands right now.
We talked about perspective on names for their new albums coming out after this one. Not really. But we did. Really. We came up with some fun ones, so I don't know.
We talked about their current album, their current video that's out right now, working with Bumblefoot. I mean, lots of stuff. So enjoy this episode with the Dotties.
The Dotties.
I hear you.
Okay.
All right. Well, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to House of Noise, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Well, of course. I saw the video for Boiling Point and I fell in love, I have to admit.
Yes, she told me, she's like, we gotta interview these guys. They're so much fun. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Yay. Whoa, happy you liked it.
Yeah, the video and the... You know, just the concept of a two-man group and, I mean, the level of talent. Kind of tell me how you guys came together. You met each other, how this beautiful thing came to be, and then meeting Bumblefoot and working with him. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, tell us your whole story right now.
Yeah, do it.
Tell us everything.
Okay, the whole story.
You can start.
Well, when a man and a woman get together and they love each other very much.
Yeah, my papa and my mama had intercourse. And then I don't know, somehow it came to be. Then at the age of 14, me and Ron started playing together. Like punk garagey stuff.
Nice.
And at the age of 20 something, Bumblefoot reached us,
which is amazing.
So he reached out to you guys.
Well, no, well,
sort of.
On our way to, we met a guy, and he's a guy, knows a guy.
Yeah,
yeah, we have a patron.
Oh, okay.
A woman who is in love with our music.
Gotcha.
That she doesn't necessarily have connections to the music industry, but she has, money.
Right.
And
right.
she loves the band, and she just, was hell bent on making us famous. And we got to the studio, and the owner of the studio, Matt Noveski, really liked our stuff too, and he introduced us to a guy who introduced us to Bumblefoot. That's how it happened.
Yeah. He's an amazing talent.
Yeah.
We had
the pleasure of meeting him about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, actually. He was, when he was playing with David Ellefson and Frank Bello when they were doing Altitudes and Attitudes and touring for that. But yeah, he was an amazing guy. He's super down to earth, really nice, the greatest guy.
Yeah, he's a good man. I mean, he's a different type of human.
Yeah.
Type of human.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, he came to Beersheba, to like the southern Israel, to record with us after he had like a major tour
with Asia,
like a big tour with Asia.
Yeah.
And we live in like the middle of nowhere, for real.
Oh, really?
And he decided, he just flew over here because we didn't have like an artist visa for Ron.
Mm.
We couldn't fly and keep recording in Texas. So he just came here. And I don't know, we love the guy, it's mm-hmm. personal. Mm-hmm. We really love the guy. And we had fun with them recording this album, and it was a crazy experience.
Yeah, I saw the video logs on your webpage, and it was pretty. It looked like you guys had a great old time.
Yeah, it was. It was fun.
The stomping you did, I assume, was that for one of the songs?
Yeah, it was for the video, the same song.
Boiling Point, actually. Yeah.
Boiling Point, yeah. So you guys actually did like a little sound effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not big.
A lot of tambourine.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the tambourine.
Yeah, electronic guys.
Yeah. Well, but listen, you play the drums and the synthesizer at the same, literally one hand playing the drums and one hand playing the synthesizer.
Where did that come from? Just out of necessity, or did you always plan on trying to do that?
Yeah. So we couldn't find a bass player there to come with us to the States the first time we flew there. And I don't know, no one wanted to join us.
They were all chicken shit.
Yeah. We used to have a bass player.
Oh, really?
Used to be more conventional with that. And there was a local band in Beersheba that used to do a similar thing. And the clock was ticking.
Right.
We already had the flight tickets. And I told Yanni we should give it a try. And it didn't sound. It didn't sound as good when we just started. I can tell you that.
Definitely took some practice, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we just sorry I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, you've got Yoni. You've got quite the range, too, as far as singing.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. You can hit those high notes. I mean, that's impressive enough.
Yeah, well, I do my best.
Yeah.
I do what I can.
Well, that lends itself to the garage sound, the punk, sound. I think that really lends, that adds to it because of your range. It's so dynamic.
Yeah, well, it's like I love punk and everything, but sometimes the melodies might be missing when it's more hardcore, when it's more like, fuck you! And...
Right.
Like, I think it's important to sort of try and develop your voice because it's more like, fuck you. There's something a bit more, not exactly like that, but, it's just the melodies help.
Yeah, they do.
It's easier to make a connection with the song.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you were breaking out more than a feeling because by Boston. Like that, I'm like, shit, yeah. You guys did a great job, even like harmonizing. Was Bumblefoot singing that with you?
That was Bumblefoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pulling the camera and harmonizing.
Yeah, I'm like, wow.
I think he covered that song a few times, and he knew the harmonies. I mean, it was funny.
Yeah.
It was pretty goofy.
Well, you know, the important thing is that you guys obviously had fun, are having fun and had fun doing this. And I think that comes through.
Yeah, it shows.
You know.
We're not like serious guys. I mean, we're serious, but you know. Right.
You're not like, you don't take yourselves too seriously. I mean,
we have to wear black.
Right.
We have to wear black on stage. We can't joke about anything.
Yeah.
This is the big leagues, guys. We got to get ourselves together.
Only the dark black. Make all not the light
jokes.
Yeah. Only the dark black, not the light black either.
The dark.
The darkest. Only the darkest. So, so what did Ron bring to the table when you guys were doing the whole recording process? Like, did he push you guys? Did he say, no, I don't like this, I think you should try it this way? You know, what did he do to help you guys grow?
He added like certain parts to certain songs.
The first one to, you know, that's what I feel, at least. I mean, it was the first one to let us feel we sound good live, and that's how we should record our music, because it's, you know, it's hard. It's easy to get lost in the studio and just record million parts and lose your identity as a band. You're a
like overproduced thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like it really opened our eyes when he said, you know, you should just do it live, like the way you do it live.
Right.
No click, no nothing, no bass guitar. Yeah.
So are you guys planning on sticking with only having the two members, or are you planning on bringing a bass player into it later on if you find the right person?
As of right now, it's just us two wankers. We might keep it that way for a while because it sounds good.
Right.
And it's financially convenient, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
we didn't sound this good with a bass player yet, and if we might find the guy someday in the future, in the far future, I don't know, if we have like an orchestra on stage and like people playing the cymbal and a bass player,
right? Are you guys?
We've developed it since we've started it. So it's still getting better.
Right.
This thing.
The two people thing.
Right. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am curious, like, we're like, obviously you guys, are you both out of Israel or only one of you? Where are you guys at?
Both in Israel.
You're both in Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause you keep talking about Texas. Yeah. So I was wondering if one of you had spent some time out here or what was going on with that.
I was born in Texas.
Okay.
And I moved to Israel when I was very young, but like our sort of home base as of right now in the States is Texas.
Okay.
Now, that's where we come to record. That's where the patron is. That's where, you know.
So so technically you're an American citizen then.
Yes. American and Israeli citizen.
All right. That's cool.
I can go. I mean, I can fly to the States whenever I want, but Ron,
it's a lot different,
needs story. An artist visa.
Right. So have you guys done a lot of live shows, or, I mean, what's it like trying to get out there and play? Like, what's the scene around Israel for the music that you're playing?
In the scene in Israel for our music?
Yeah.
It's not there. not there. Not existent.
Non-existent at all. So what's it like trying to, like, do you guys book anything at all out there or anything around you guys?
Yeah, we do. I mean, as of right now, we can't because of Corona, but right. we've got, like, you know, fine gigs here and there. Just it is a bit different in America.
Right.
When we play there, because there are bands that we kind of sound more like, you know, that more melodic punk bands, I guess, is the way I'd put it. I don't know.
Yeah, We're definitely super diverse out here. You know, it's a lot easier to book a gig in the States than pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Besides Europe. Yeah. I would say Europe is pretty easy to book gigs too.
Yeah, Israel is so small. I mean, there's not really a market and infrastructure for.
Well, you got the whole religious aspect music, of it too. That especially rock. The whole religious aspect out there too. It really probably puts a damper on trying to play anything out there too.
I guess a lot of people here are religious. It's like if the place was a bit bigger, you know, it could have been more realistic to have a career, but you know, if you want an actual career here, you have to be like a Middle Eastern singer.
Right.
Like the country singers over here, you know, they just play weddings and they have big crummy hits. It sounds like shit. I mean, it's horrible, but it's the market here, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So are there plans of, you know, after the coronavirus thing, obviously, are you working on trying to get him some sort of visa so that Rand can get over here so you guys can play over here? Like, that's all in the works right now?
It's getting closer. It's getting better. We've got like an attorney to help us with that, and it's not
I don't think it's the issue anymore, the visa, but right. We can start. We should have, we were about to start finding some tour options, and then the whole coronavirus thing started.
So
what's the situation in Israel right now with the coronavirus anyway? Because I was looking at the numbers and it doesn't seem like you guys are as bad off as, you know, say United States or Italy or anything like that, because we got hit pretty hard. And Michigan itself, you know, we're like the third worst state in the States. I mean, we're seeing the effects of it hardcore. I didn't know, like, what's it like over there right now?
I guess people aren't as dying as much. Yeah.
It's not bad. There are 8,000 infected sick people.
Right.
But I think like 40 people have died by now.
Are you guys on lockdown over there, or... like, are they keeping everybody out of the stores and off the streets? And I think you guys caught it sooner than, you know, everywhere else. You're at least you're one of them.
Yeah, it's easier to implement these lockdowns when you're in such a small country. It's like a big city. It's like one big city.
Right.
Even not that big, but it's like a big city, you know. Everyone.
Yeah, and you have your federal government and your local governments, and it's obviously way more difficult in the U.S.
How did you guys even get into punk, being from, you know, being in Israel? Because it doesn't, you know, obviously you already said that there's not a scene in Israel at all. So what drew you guys to like the punk and the rock and all that kind of stuff?
There is sort of a punk scene here. You know, it's not, there is rock here, not exactly.
I guess what was your like first
the same
your first,
type of rock?
What was some of your early like introductions into rock and punk and all that kind of stuff?
Guess just MTV, I guess.
Okay.
MTV, and we'd buy CDs. You know, back in the day.
Right.
And CDs were a thing. I remember.
Well, I'm a little bit older. I remember when cassette tapes were a thing. Jenna's a little bit older than me.
Oh, you're still like a cassette guy?
No, I'm not a cassette guy. No, Jenna's a little bit older.
We've got a cassette of the band, actually. We've got a cassette.
Has that been selling pretty well?
No.
No?
But it's there,
right?
And we're proud of it.
That's something good. Yeah, we had it like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, the Israeli customs didn't let us take it because we made it in the U.S. So they sent it back to California. It was like a Burger Records, their cassette thing.
All right, so let me get this straight. You made a tape in the States and you tried bringing it back with you, and the customs wouldn't let you bring a cassette tape?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she was like...
it was very suspicious.
Super suspicious.
100 cassettes. Yeah, and she was like, what are you going to do with 100 cassettes? Are you going to sell it? And I'm like... no, who's gonna buy it?
Right.
It was like, it was something we wanted to, you know, give to our friends and then local fans.
Right. Yeah, so it was more of a promotional type. It was like a promotional type thing. Like, here's a, it's like a business card almost, you know?
Yeah, but now it's somewhere.
Yeah, it's like a hipster thing.
Right. Yeah, because nobody wants to spend money on cassette tapes because they're basically useless.
Yeah, they are pretty much useless.
So what kind of merchandise have you gotten into? I mean, you just stick with, like, T-shirts? I mean, obviously, you have the cassette tapes.
Yeah, T-shirts and, I would draw a lot of things on CDs that we'd sell. That was the more, like, indie way of, I guess the it stood out more than a lot of the merch, but we've got T-shirts and stickers.
We'll have CDs and vinyls at some point, for sure.
So do you like drawing a lot?
Yeah, well, I'm drawing a video right now for us, like an animated stop-motion video. I've got a lot of time, so I'm drawing a shitload of creepy animation for our next video.
That's got to be super time-consuming.
Yes, it is.
Time's not a problem.
Very.
Right.
It's not a problem, though.
At the moment, yes.
Yeah, thanks.
It's just the stamina.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So Jenna is actually just joining us again.
I had to walk my dog. I had to walk my dog. He had to go potty.
I thought you were in the restroom or something.
No. I don't know if either of you have pets, but yeah, he
started barking.
He did. He decided that was the time in the middle of an interview to go. He had to go use the restroom. So, you know.
Okay. So we shall forgive the dog.
Yes, we have to forgive him. He's a greyhound. So
All right. Let's recap on what you missed. So they got cassette tapes that they made here in the States, and they tried bringing them back, and customs turned them down and told them they couldn't bring them with them.
Well, that's baloney.
They thought it would explode.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Suddenly burst into flames like the, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. Fuck those guys.
Customs is stupid.
Fuck them.
Right.
Customs.
Right, exactly. Fuck them.
Fuck borders.
They're useless anyway.
Oh,
borders.
Yeah.
We don't need borders. We need nothing. We need love.
We do. Love breaks down borders. So, you know, we just need to love each other.
Love and accept.
Yes.
What else are we talking about? They're on lockdown over there as well.
I was just going to ask, like, how I'm sure, you know, I've never been to the Middle East. I've never been to Israel. I imagine it's a beautiful country where you guys are.
We also talked
about
Yanni was born in the States and moved to Israel.
No shit.
His parents moved him out there. So he's got dual citizenship.
Oh, well, lucky you. Not nice. Why did they move back?
It's okay.
Yeah, why did they move back from the States to Israel? Just out of curiosity.
Because
usually it's the opposite. Usually people of different cultures and stuff will leave their countries, especially if there's like political turmoil, and they'll come to the United States. So,
my dad is kind of Jewish, and my
you say it like it's a bad thing.
He's kind of Jewish.
No, it's not. It's a wonderful thing. Being a Jew is incredible, I think. But, like, you know, just having fun walking around being a Jew is
it's
not like anything else in this world.
Well, you know, I have to ask about that because
I gotta say, being a Jew in Hollywood is the best thing you could ever be.
Well, after the war.
I'm talking about right now.
But before, no.
Being a Jew in Israel is not very special.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
No, it's not like Hollywood over here. It's very different from Hollywood.
You look at Hollywood, and then, you know, most of the actor, a lot of the actors, a lot of the producers, a lot of, like, anybody that has anything to do with show business is a Jew. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like a huge percentage.
Yeah.
A huge percentage. Yeah. And we try to be one of them too, but we're not.
Damn it.
You're not Jew enough. That's a problem.
We're
not Jew enough.
Yeah, you're kind of Jewish. That's your problem. You need to be more. You're like kind of, you know, 95%.
Like you said, sort of Jew.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, though, in relation to that, is there still conflict between the Jewish people and non-Jewish people in Israel? Is that still, like, part of the...
She's trying to go political on...
Well, no, not really, because I'm an American. Because I'm an American, and I only get the information from... our media here in the States. I've never really had the luxury or pleasure of really talking to someone who lives in that country and is, you know, can really be honest and kind of educate me, because I've never been, like I said, I've never been to Israel. I'm a Anglo-Saxon. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. I just, you know, so, you know, and I guess it kind of relates to the style of your music too, because I don't, what's the musical culture like in Israel?
We did talk about that a little bit.
Well, I had to take my dog out for a crawl.
Yeah,
we already answered that question.
Damn it.
No, you said that there's not a whole lot of the scene out there. It's a little bit. The problem, like you said, it's a small country. So, you know,
is it really a small country?
Oh, yeah, it's tiny. It's like a large city.
Yeah, it's incredibly small.
Really?
Incredibly small.
Look at a map.
Well, I don't have a map in front of me, dude.
Look at a map every once in a while,
It's like three Rhode Islands, I think.
Is it?
Like that. Yeah.
What's it like where you're at? Like, what's it like? Draw me a picture, because I've never been. So I don't want to make any assumptions.
Currently, it's four walls.
Like it.
Shut up. Not you.
Well, it's just very. It's hard to tell. Like technically, I'm half Moroccan.
Okay.
So a lot of Israeli, like a lot of the Jews here are also, in a way, Arabic Jews, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to tell apart Jew from non-Jew.
Right.
And a lot of the times, you know, it's not perfect. There's conflict in the cultures, and obviously there are wars. Inside of Israel, it's not like we go, you know, we go fist fighting.
Right.
Muslims or anything like that. It's never that bad, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I appreciate you, because I guess when I think of someone who is Jewish and stuff, you know, the whole entire, I mean, there's Hasidic Jews and, you know, different faiths within, you know, and they have their customs. And then you have your Jews that wear the yarmulke, you know, celebrate Hanukkah, all that stuff. So it's like, I was just curious, because
Orthodox?
There's Greek Orthodox. There's Orthodox Jews too, I guess. I don't know. There's so much. There's so many different variations.
I don't even pretend to actually know anything. I'm just.
No, it's okay. You're there.
Close enough.
Yeah,
a lot of different types.
Yeah, but the Moroccan aspect is very interesting. Like Morocco, I think I've heard is a beautiful country. Is that in Asia? See, I need to pull out a map. Apparently, because
you really
I don't
do
know
need
shit.
To pull out a map.
Yeah.
Morocco is North Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I'm just going to stop now. I'm just going to stop, because I sound like I never had a geography class, and I don't know the world map at all.
It's not that far, or I guess it's not that far.
Yeah, the continent away, you know.
It could almost be Asia.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's nowhere near Asia.
I don't know.
It's
I don't
nowhere
know either,
near.
So.
No, it's not near.
It's nowhere near Asia.
No, it's not near Asia. That's
Oh man,
you know, it's one world, and that's what matters, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's one world.
Well, you know,
that's all that matters. Yeah. One world.
And you know, that's the unique aspect of music in and of itself, is I think music relates, makes things relatable, and that, you know, if you're dealing with a hormonal issue, love, hurt feelings, depression, upsetness or rage or whatever.
That's a worldwide.
That those feelings are worldwide, and that music connects us to each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the point, I guess, in a way. I sometimes it's a little hard when people don't understand your language.
Well, right. You're doing
it. It gets a little
job.
Harder.
Yeah.
But
True.
But like when you get the point across with attitude and melody and, you know, and sound and whatever, then people sort of understand in a way, you know, they still relate to it in a way, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I do. I definitely agree with that. I want to go back to Boiling Point for a second. The videos, the farming environmental videos running behind you guys, it's very Green Acres, which I absolutely adore and love. I think that's why I loved it so much, other than the song itself, is just the video was so fun and I don't want to say it was just cool. Is that all just random footage that was found somewhere that put up on a green screen, or where was that? It's cool footage. I'm curious where the idea came in.
We worked with video music production called Monster Film Productions. They shot a lot of like stock footage. They had a lot of random videos. And we just went to like stock footage websites, you know, and looked for whatever was free that we could use. Yeah. And we found the best ones. I mean,
we did know what we wanted to look like. So we knew the general direction of what we need to have and what we need to find. And then we looked for it. It took hours, actually. It took hours to find something.
Yeah, it was
something,
hard finding those videos.
Yeah, especially
something without copyrights.
Right. Yeah.
I was gonna say, especially when you have such a small window to look through, it's trying to find royalty free stuff is near impossible, because you know everybody wants their little bit of change if you use something of theirs.
Yeah, exactly. So we made sure we don't violate any royalty, and we don't need to pay anyone, or no one's gonna sue us for it.
Well, that's one of the things I actually hate about doing the podcast, is that we can't play any music. I mean, I'd love to showcase your guys' music. And, you know, I've read a lot of different threads and stuff saying, you know, it's okay as long as they give you permission. It's like, no, if somebody else holds a little bit of that rights, they're going to sue me. So I just don't play music. I leave all the I put all the links
in
the description.
We would definitely sue you. Well, anything we could get.
I'm sure.
You get a dollar.
Right. You could take all my millions, quote unquote millions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely don't make that much money.
Especially with Corona, when we're much.
I'm not even working right now because of this damn virus.
Yeah, darn it.
Yeah, we're unemployed too.
Yeah.
Are you?
Except for the music, man. Rock is
rock is
free.
Still alive. Rock
you can't
is
stop
free.
The music, man.
Yeah. Can't stop the rock.
Can't stop it. Yeah.
Well, what kind of jobs do you guys have? If you don't mind me asking.
I work at a bar.
Okay.
And you know, they just let me come back. If we ever fly to play or something, then it's not an issue.
Oh, cool.
I just work there, and now that might close, I don't know.
I hope
it doesn't.
Yeah, I hope not either.
It was a good job.
I hope not either, man, because that would suck.
Yeah.
We'll
see what the future holds.
Right. Yeah. At this point, we're still hoping that they don't manage to cancel any more festivals.
Well, my current worry is that they're going to extend us as being on lockdown for another probably 30 days. That really puts a damper on my paycheck.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, that would be. I don't know what to do, man. I've got like savings, sort of. So I think I'm like. Like, I don't have a kid. It's not as bad as some people, you know?
Yeah.
Like some people were very independent and their businesses, like, really crumbled. And I was kind of poor before this.
I'm going to be okay.
Like, yeah, but then, like, I can find food in the trash can. Scrape something off. I'll get by. I don't have another kid to feed out of the trash can, though. I wouldn't want that on my hands.
No, if you can just feed yourself out of a trash can, it's okay.
You guys might be relying on each other.
Yeah. That's fine.
Well, Ryan, aren't you still in school studying history?
Yeah. I'm doing the Zoom thing now. Yeah.
So that's how it goes now. So all your classes went online?
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. How close are you to graduating?
I think I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it.
I can't keep track.
I was gonna say, like, why history?
Yeah, why? What drew you to the history?
It's a good question. No.
He asks himself that every day.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
What any particular aspect of history that you know, any time period that interests you more than, or just overall?
Like for me, I love the Renaissance period. Yeah. That was my favorite time period.
Yeah, Renaissance is fun. I'm actually reading Da Vinci's biography now.
Oh yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh yeah. That's my dude.
Yeah,
Da Vinci was very punk rock.
He was.
Yes.
He was, actually. The more I read about it, the more punk rock I think he is.
What makes him punk rock? I was just shitting. I don't know. I mean, he was
rebellious.
Because he did everything. He basically said, fuck you. I don't want to be just this. I want to learn medical. I want to draw. I want to paint. I want to sculpt. I want to vent.
I don't know. He was born out of marriage.
Right.
He was a bastard.
I don't know. Yeah. So many aspects of his life. Are punk rock.
Yeah.
He got cadavers brought to his house. I mean, that's not punk rock. I don't know what is.
Right.
Yeah. Violated bodies.
Yeah.
It was into gory imagery.
Yeah.
That's more death metal than punk rock. Yeah.
So.
Death metal Da Vinci.
Yeah. Oh, that would. Somebody needs to go and name their band that.
Da Vinci.
Death Metal Da Vinci. That would be awesome. That would be a badass name. That would be a badass name for a heavy metal band, Death Metal Da Vinci. I'm sure nobody's put a copyright on that, so you'd be good. DMD.
Yeah, we should save that.
There you go.
Sue whoever uses Death Metal Da Vinci. We're going to sue his ass.
Actually, there's the title of your next song or your next record, Death Metal Da Vinci. Boom.
Yeah, that's okay. All right.
I had a debate with somebody about I'm surprised that nobody's taken the name Devil's Taint or
Devil's
Taint.
No,
it was Satan's Taint. That's what I came up with.
No, I like the Devil's
Taint. I looked it up and I couldn't find a band that has that name. I mean, there might be a band out there somewhere that's done it, but nothing that I could find on the interwebs.
Well, there's your album after that, Satan's Taint. And
Satan's Taint. Yeah, that sounds pretty. I think I'd use that.
Yeah. See?
We're good to go. Cool.
Yeah, you guys are set.
Yeah, we're good to go. We've got enough names for a whole bunch of things now.
Discography. Yeah.
So you guys said that you did want to make it over to the States and tour. Like, what kind of bands are your dream bands to hook up with, or who are you trying to get in contact with to tour with?
I'm like hoping that, you know, we're for like Radiohead fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And like, I'm hoping, and they sort of have this connection with Israel. They come here a lot. Sometimes they come to some of the indie festivals that happen here. Like Johnny Greenwood was their guitar player was at some like indie festival in Israel.
Okay.
And like, I'm hoping that he calls me one day. He's like, oh, I caught you guys at the indie festival in Israel, and I really want to play with you guys. You're fucking fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
I think that was kind of an Irish accent. I don't know, but I'm really hoping they like us.
Well,
that they hear about us.
Oh, I hope they do too. That would be an amazing band to hook up with. I mean, it's definitely not.
Yeah,
it's not out of the realm.
In my dreams.
Yeah, it's not.
Maybe in the future, sometime.
Right. I mean, you just gotta keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully one day they'll be like, "Who the fuck are these guys?" You know, call you up and be like, "Hey, let's do it.
Let's do it, guys.
Let's do it.
Let's rock together.
Let's jam."
That's how they sound like.
Yeah, I haven't talked to them, but I that's how I hear them. Let's jam, guys. Let's do it.
Hey guys, that's totally cool. You guys rock.
Yeah, now they're gonna hear this and be like, never mind.
Yeah. Well, if they get to this interview, then you blew our chances, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Anything to help. Oh. So, is there anybody you actually are actively trying to hook up with right now to try to go out and tour with?
Right now, not really. We had a band. We were supposed to go on a tour with Local H about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, they're like a touring band in the States that have that you know, they're kind of grungy.
Okay.
And they have a good, like, touring fan base, and we were supposed to have, like, really good gigs with them. Like, the shows were booked,
and then the whole visa thing, yeah.
Ron's artist visa, something went wrong, and we couldn't go, and it was horrible. It was a horrible moment. Like, I remember I had the morning we were supposed to be touring in the States, and because of some dumbass bureaucracy crap, we couldn't go. I was mopping the floors at some catering job, and like I had an angry Moroccan boss saying, "You know, clean it better, what are you doing?" And I started like crying when I was mopping the floor. I was like, "I can't believe I'm here." It was a horrible moment.
I don't mean to laugh at your misery, but you made it sound funny, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I wanted you to laugh at my misery. I want something good to come out of that crap.
Well, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, right?
Yeah.
So have you had more luck with getting girls and having a guitar yet, or are you still having trouble in that department?
No, I'm living with my girlfriend right now.
Well, there
you go. Wrote that song quite a while ago, but I did have a lot of issues with that.
I don't even remember where I read that at. I just read that you put somewhere about I have a guitar and I can't find a girl or something like that. I'm like, that's sad.
No,
I'm sorry.
I must say it is quite bizarre that I get no pussy and I play guitar. That's the line.
Of course, Ron, you know, you play drums and they never get the girl, so.
I'm very monogamous. I'm the monogamous type.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're basically the Def Leppard drummer. You only got the one arm drumming. That doesn't
help. Well, he's like the bass player and the drummer, so it's like he gets the both.
Like a black hole.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So I guess having, like, I'm the bass player and the drummer at the same time. So you pick up.
So it's like he gets the amount of the amount of vagina the bass player and the drummer are supposed to get, which is like the equivalent of the singer.
Right. Yeah. You put those two together, and it's.
I guess they both cancel each other out.
All right. I think we've
been the bass player and the drummer in one person.
All right. I think we've beaten a dead horse on this one. This has been such a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's
I had a great time.
Hey, thank you, man.
Jenna's taking care of the dogs again, so but I know she had a great time too.
It's okay. Send my goodbyes. Bow her kisses.
I will. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to both of you. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Actually, you're probably in the afternoon right now, aren't you?
It's 9 p.m. right now.
Yeah, so enjoy the rest of your night. We're only at like 2.
Thank you.
We're at 3 o'clock in the afternoon right now, so a little bit of a time difference.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait till you guys have more material. I really hope you guys can make it over to the States and tour. You know, I wish you guys nothing but the best. And like I said, I hope you guys have a good rest of your night and wash your damn hands.
We shall.
Thank you.
We shall wash those hands.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Stay safe out there, guys. Hopefully you don't get the Rona.
Yeah, well, I don't think we will. Well, maybe we will, but it's okay. We're young.
Yeah, as long as you don't have any autoimmune diseases or complications, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take it easy, and can't wait to hear more from you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right, bye.